Hi, this is Amity from Design Oracles. I just have a quick public service announcement to make. If you have noticed, we've had some breaks between our seasons. We typically will be doing 12 shows in a season, and then there may be a break of a couple months, and then the next season will start. So that'll be our pattern moving forward, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio, and together partners at Amity Kett.
This is Amity Worrell, and today we are here to talk about...
We're going to talk about entry and human behavior. It's kind of jumping off more from our pattern language inspiration and talking about your car connection and that first step into your house.
Yeah, so we talked last time about that curb appeal moment, what the space looks like from the outside. And now we're going to get you into the house.
Taking you from the curb to the door.
So curb
now
to door.
You're in your car and what happens next?
Exactly. So drive up to the house. We've already talked about what experience you want it to look like. Now we're going to talk about how do you get inside.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about where you enter. There are a few different things to consider. There's a different style of homes, and some homes have formal entries. Some have less formal entries.
Right. And there's kind of a whole bunch of city rules as well that vary from city to city as to what you have to do with your cars. So some of them, you know, the cars have to be behind the house a certain feet or within the front line of the house a certain feet. You have to be able to park so many cars. It depends on, you know, which city you're in. A lot of the inner cities, of course, the lots are smaller, and so they have all kinds of certain rules about how many cars you have to park on your lot in order to get a permit. And so sometimes that also leads to single-wide driveways versus double-wide, things like that. Now, of course, you could be out in the country and have a huge lot, multiple acres, and then you kind of think, well, I have this long driveway, and then I want a big drive-around, circular curve, and, you know, then you have so much land to play with, you can figure out how many cars do I want to park out here.
Yeah, I noticed in some of the more inner-city neighborhoods, there is that sort of stacked car parking where there's one car pulling and one car behind them. Mm-hmm. And then some of the, I know communities have those rules about not leaving your car on the street.
Right.
So you've got to find a place for it to be in the driveway, whether you stack them up or park it offsite. So those are all things to consider.
Yeah. So that car, where you put this car, really drives a lot because we're not really going to give up our cars, right?
No, definitely not. And then I personally will say that I have never been in a position of being able to park my car in my actual garage because I am a furniture hoarder. Because I am an interior designer, and so my garage is for holding furnishings.
I think sometimes I've held some of your furniture
you
in
have.
My garage.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's another thing to think about is it's very nice when you do have the opportunities, particularly when you live in a place that doesn't have good weather and you want to protect your car or you have a nice car, being able to put it under a car cover or pull it into your garage is something to manage. And then once you're in that space, how do you get out and get into the house?
Mm-hmm. And then there's some city rules where you have to have a side-facing garage. It's not allowed to face the street. And so when we're planning the house, we have to think about that and how to get it, you know, to turn, and do we have enough space to turn the car in? And so it can kind of almost dominate how you're laying out the house, depending on the size of the lot.
I guess that's true. If you are planning a house, you have to, like you say, immediately think about who's going to live there, how many people, how are they going to get it out, what do they drive? And I've been with you and we've measured people's cars before.
Yeah, right.
And I've been there when people discover that the older home that they've purchased doesn't fit their massive vehicle, and we kind of have to rework the garage entirely. So it's definitely something important to think about because, as you say, that's imperative to how we get around.
So once we kind of determine if we're having carport, garage, where it's located, if it's detached, if it's attached, with a breezeway, all those interesting different ways of connecting the garage to your house, usually people want some type of covering for sure, if not just a direct access from the garage into their house. So what happens once you step in is, you know, you could end up in, well, I guess there's a lot of houses where you walk in and it's those tiny little laundry rooms where you walk in the door and the washer and dryer basically come out right to the edge of the door. They're even covering the trim. And you've got groceries and bags of stuff and the kids and their bags of sporting equipment. And you can't do anything. You get so frustrated because you can't even get through the door. And then you're dumped into the kitchen with more counters around you and you're knocking stuff over and you have nowhere to dump your stuff, right?
Yeah. And then the garage is packed with cars and sometimes garden utensils or whatever they're called, garden implements.
Garden utensils.
And so, yeah, that experience is something we want to clarify for people, help them figure it out. And there's, you know, there's moments where you can create little mudroom areas, drop zones, partially sometimes in your garage right outside the door. Maybe there's a little setup where you can take off your wet and muddy shoes if you don't have the opportunity on the inside of your house to have a mudroom type space. Mm-hmm. So there's that moment. You can have cabinets outside the door or a key drop or something, depending on how tidy you are in your garage. But kind of clarifying that entry experience, because that is the it is part of that connection to your home and how you feel when you arrive. And if you always feel hectic and as though you're being hurried into your house and the dog's trying to get out and you're trying to get in, and it can be uncomfortable.
Yeah. So you really want it to be a positive space that you're going into. You want it to support the experience of the coming and going. You know, you don't want to have to, if you're rushing around and hectic, you'd want it to be even more annoying when you walk into this small space.
Yeah, you want to add peace and serenity to your life, not more chaos, especially when we're coming in and we've just been in traffic, etc.
Right.
So that's something to think about, that's something to plan for. And then there are families who don't enter through their garage. Mine, we enter through a side door off the garage and into a mudroom. So if you are lucky enough to have a space that is, mine's a mudroom, laundry room combination with plenty of benches and cubbies and storage moments and space to kind of put everything down, it can be a nice feeling to arrive home with your car half unpacked into your bag and then you have a place to put it down. So you can take that moment to sort through the things that you've brought in that you need to put away and have a place to be and have it live. So maybe when people are coming over, you can just shut that door if you haven't had a chance to clean that area up. And it's just nice to think about those backspaces, right? Like when you're entering.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times we go through lots of discussions with clients. You know, someone might, they have a child that rides horses. So we have saddles we have to accommodate for in there. So we're designing to accommodate for multiple saddles. We have, you know, sporting equipment. Golf clubs, so, and a lot of times, you know, and everyone's different. Sometimes they want almost like a locker for each person, and it's clearly divided as to whose space is who. Sometimes people just want the big open bench with a bunch of hooks to just hang everything, and then cubbies up above and below. Sometimes we put in outlets and certain types of plugs to charge things in there, because sometimes you come in, you just want to drop all that stuff and just leave it to charge. Also, a lot of times people like to have, it's almost like this one little counter that's probably 2 feet wide or so. And it's usually taller than a kitchen counter. And it has a whole bunch of drawers. And then it's even got cubbies for mail and stuff. So it's kind of your key drop, mail drop.
It's like an organizing station,
too. Yeah, it's a great organizing station.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good place to put up a little cork board and post up some of the, you know, family notifications or keep a calendar or that kind of thing. On the interior design side, thinking about how those spaces get finished out, you know, mine is I have a cork floor in that room, so it's nice and quiet when I enter. Cork countertops, cork paneled wall. Because for me, I'm a very sensitive to sound, and so I really like when I come in for the house to feel quiet.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And then, you know, we have clients who like to do maybe Pennsylvania bluestone or some kind of a stone floor so that it's completely impervious to any kind of dirt and mess, and they don't have to worry about scratches on the floor or because it's such a high traffic area.
Yeah, I definitely think usually it's better if it can be a tiled type area as opposed to wood floor, although sometimes we still do the wood floor through there. But then you can also put down really good mats or, you know, indoor-outdoor rugs.
Brush matting or something. And, you know, the other thing to think about, which a project that we're working on now, Diane and I, has taken into account, is how to ventilate that area. Diane has a few tricks, too, that putting a fan in some of the cabinets to keep the air moving in the space if it's a laundry room or an entrance hall. But there can be a stinky shoe moment if you're not careful.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's funny. I had another friend, she was not a client, but she had her sons would come in from football practice, and she would have them come in, the mudroom connected to the laundry room. They had to strip down, put everything in the washing machine, and then I guess they had a stack of clothes or whatever there that then they changed into before they came in the house because they stunk so bad.
I should get robes for my kids and keep them by the back door, put on their robes.
Yeah.
I love that. So, yeah, there's some opportunities in mudrooms to do things like maybe a cabinet that has vent slices, cuts in the face of the doors for venting so you can close your shoes in there without them getting stinky, or maybe a cane detail as a panel inset or metal detail as a panel inset.
Yeah, that's lovely. Super lovely, positive moment for sure.
Looks
coming
good.
In and seeing something like that.
Yeah, so my space is very open. I can see my mess. That doesn't bother me. Other people would be more want something they can close. I had a client who wanted drawers all the way across underneath her children's cubbies because there were mittens and gloves and socks and extra things. And if she had a place to close them away, she had peace of mind.
Right. And then there's other people who say, there's no way I'm going to get my child to open that drawer and put that in there. So they just want it open below right to the floor so the floor goes in. There's no lip or anything and they can just kick their shoes in there.
Yeah, we like the kick off your shoe moment. So that also makes it easy to clean in those cubby
spaces.
Yeah, that's
right. And it also makes it easy to clean.
So one other thing to think about is, say you don't have a mudroom or a laundry room. Say you have one entry and it is the entrance hall or the whatever you call it, foyer. Let's talk about ways to kind of make that space work and what we don't like, because there's some that Diane and I both have pet peeves about.
Yeah, although I want to go back to the mudroom and laundry room. Usually I like to disconnect the mudroom and laundry room so that when you're in the mudroom, you're not really thinking about having to do laundry and seeing the, you know, the baskets and everything in your laundry room. So a lot of times if those are near, I usually like to have some type of pocket door or something that breaks it. Now, I know in yours, it doesn't necessarily break it, but the laundry is at the one end and then you have the mudroom.
It's a big enough space that it doesn't feel crowded.
Her laundry room's beautiful as well.
Yeah.
So it is a beautiful moment to walk into.
Yeah.
But so usually I do like to kind of separate that.
I didn't know that. I've noticed it now that you mentioned it. Your plans always do have that there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know another client we worked on has that opportunity, and she has three kids, so I know she's got a lot of laundry. So she has a beautiful mudroom that's cut off from her laundry room, but it's accessible.
Right, yeah.
So you can have that.
So the stinky boys can still go in and change and put everything in the wash.
Put their robes. Right, exactly. So when you don't, I'll say that one of the things that makes me crazy about a house, and if I can and help people with this, I do, is a lot of those houses that are real flat-fronted face on the outside of the house. I think I see this a lot in ranch-style houses.
Yeah.
You come in the door and blasted, you are spit out right into the middle of the living room. And it's annoying because it's tough for furniture arranging because oftentimes.
Yeah, you don't know where the boundary is, right?
Yeah, there's no architectural separation between spaces. So sometimes we can do that with furnishings. We can kind of add a little dividing wall or something decorative, but the way people live today, there's oftentimes that's the only opportunity for the television location. And, you know, you can walk right in and be standing in front of somebody's TV if you're not careful. So how do we deal with that is kind of a thing we always want to talk to clients about. Like if we have an opportunity architecturally to add a space, maybe a vestibule or a foyer or extend a space or just reconfigure the interior space to create an entry moment.
Yeah, and it kind of keeps the public and private. You know, there's the people on the street that you necessarily don't want peeking in to see who else is there or, you know, it's the solicitor again or, you know, just things like that.
Decoratively, too, it's a nice opportunity to elevate your space. So maybe in that entrance hall area, we get to do fancy wallpaper or a beautiful paint detail with a decorative light fixture, a little table. You know, I always like to think about, you know, who comes in which entrance, right? So when a neighbor or somebody comes over and you do want to let them in, what is the impression you want to make?
Yeah, because this room really makes your first impression.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of this room, you know, it doesn't have to be grand, but it's your first impression. And what is it you want to communicate?
And I've, you know, had clients that when they don't have another space, they will want to make their entrance hall less formal so that they can still have a little drop zone or something mm-hmm. within it. And that can be done beautifully as well. But it's definitely something to consider that it's oftentimes a better idea to create a secondary little space. But just where, you know, when I go to a client's house as the interior designer, when I walk in, they often invite me in through their main entry, mm-hmm. not their side entry or their garage entry. And I've got bags to carry. And I always notice looking around for where am I going to put my things down? Where, you know, it's a way of showing people that you care about them and mm-hmm. that they're welcome and that they've arrived somewhere. We like to think mm-hmm. of it as their arrival moment. What is it to have arrived in a place?
And it's kind of like you're giving pause to just before you go in the house or whatever you're about to do.
Yes, setting a tone.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, fancy. It just has to be thought through. Mm-hmm. Has to be careful. So, Diane, you were talking, too, about some other things that are kind of pet peeves for you. Mine was this being spit out into the – oh, yours was the washer-dryer.
Yes.
Jabbing you in the ribs as mm-hmm. you walk through.
Yeah, one thing I did also wanted to mention is usually you want to have a 5-foot diameter of clear space coming and going. That's usually a good
– That's a lot.
Rule. But, yeah, so that just usually makes – the best amount of space. Now, we can't always do that sometimes because we're just limited on some things, but that's usually a good rule of what feels really good enough coming in with your bags. Maybe you've got groceries and you've got your computer and you've just got all this stuff and then the kids trailing behind you and trying not to let the dog get out or the cat or whatever.
Yeah, that's why sometimes
quite a circus.
It's sometimes nice to have a separation, even so much as maybe a door or a pocket door or a folding door or
mm-hmm.
some kind of way to filter that process. You know, we're mm-hmm. talking about the gradients, the change from one area to another,
yeah.
and just having that some kind of a filter there is kind of nice.
But I would say also with the foyer, I never like that when you just come in the door and it's you're just like, yeah, spit out into a room mm-hmm. and there's no defined entry. Now, sometimes, again, we're working in smaller houses. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's very hard to define it, and we have to do it with furniture or bookcases
right.
or something like that. But.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's, you know, here in where we are in Central Texas, there's not as much need for big, heavy coats and things and
mm-hmm.
scarves. But, you know, it is nice when there's an opportunity for there to be pegs on the wall or a tree stand, you know, for hanging
tree,
your coat,
yeah,
hall tree,
uh-huh.
or a hall closet nearby,
mm-hmm.
maybe adding something, even just a little bit of space to kind of put people's coats and things away is a nice thing to want to make sure you have as well.
Yeah. So the entry is, I think, also the relationship of the windows that you have in that foyer and to the outside. It helps you kind of see who's coming and going. It you know, if you want to make it more private, there's less glass. Also your door. So like my door is full glass. I like to have the light and see who's coming and going. Now, eventually other members of my family wanted more privacy with that. And so what we did is we did window covering so I can have my happiness of the full glass. And when they don't want to have anyone seeing in, they can close it. So that works out really well. But a lot of people aren't like that. And a lot of people usually want more of a solid glass. But a lot of times they still want some type of being able to peek out and see who's there. There might be some glass at the top or half glass or.
Yeah. And sometimes when people have glass doors, we can put a window, a film on there, a privacy film mm-hmm. or something, but leave a little bit of edge all around the outside, like a little mm-hmm. border where you can peek through and see who's out there. And I've had both experiences. I've lived in a space where I kept my front door open all the time, but had a storm door that was solid glass so that mm-hmm. I could see out all the time, but still have the AC staying on inside or the heat,
right.
but being able to see out all the time. So it's just a different everybody has a different way of kind of thinking about that. The other thing I want to mention decoratively and is in your entry areas, whether it's your less formal or more formal, is that the lighting can often be a really great opportunity.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So when you drive up to a house and there's just one light on, just a beautiful kind of beacon mm-hmm. of like welcome, and it's right, maybe it's right outside the door and inside the door, that warm glow that we all love, that we see in people's houses when we're driving down the road. You've all seen those houses that just kind of glow at night, and they mm-hmm. have them. And that's because that lighting has been carefully considered. It's not a glaring bulb in your eye. It's
right.
a beautiful, warm, ambient light that welcomes you. And I think of that as kind of your nightlight. You leave that on maybe all the time, so your house mm-hmm. always looks friendly
mm-hmm.
and welcoming.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I know you love to, if there's space, to do the little round table in the center, which just
I love center
really
round tables.
Nice. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And have some pictures. Maybe you're able to put fresh flowers on there.
The really fun thing, too, with those center hall tables, if you can get yourself one or vestibule, I mean, or a console table, is for holidays you can decorate it, which I just think is really fun, because when you've got kids or you're going to have, you know, people come over for Halloween, or you're mm-hmm. going to have some kind of an event, or maybe it's just flowers and a staged moment of a table, usually round. I love round tables in an entrance hall. Maybe a pedestal so there's no legs in the way. You can welcome people that way by, yes, it can be an opportunity for them to put things down when they come in. Mm-hmm. You too, for when you come in the formal way. Keys or whatever, put your bag down for a minute. It's also another place to tuck your shoes underneath. But it's also just a great opportunity to decorate, you know, and kind of set the tone. And maybe you get this is, you know, at my studio, I do this. I've got a table that when I get a new vase or a new gift, or somebody sends flowers or some kind of something for the staff, I can put that out. And that's my moment. That's my welcome. That's my kind of everybody can see what's going on. And it just sets a tone. It can be a really – I have one client that, you know, at Halloween, she puts all of her, like, decorative skulls out on mm-hmm. her table, and you know, her cauldron, and then it's just such a fun opportunity.
Yeah, my entry foyer, which I really wanted to have one, but I also turned it into a library, because as an architect I have gaboons of architecture books, and so I don't have a large house and I was on a small lot, so it doubles as a library. And I have a kind of the top of one of the bookshelves, which has windows, I always decorate and kind of have fun with the holidays with that.
Yeah, and your layout is such that you can look into your library entrance hall mm-hmm. and not see through to the rest of the house, because
right.
there's a staircase there that also creates privacy, which I think is really nice. When you look through, you see that there's a house in there, mm-hmm. but you see the side of the stairs. And I think that's kind of nice. It's a little bit of mystery, because that's another thing to think about is, you know, that when you get spit out in the middle of somebody's TV when they're watching it, that, there's no mystery there. You're just there and you can see everyone and everybody can see you, and there's no reveal of the space. There's
yeah.
no mm-hmm. opportunity to say
a sequence of events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no like, well, wonder what's around this corner, or being invited into the more private spaces from the front of mm-hmm. the house. So having that kind of opportunity is good. I have a client now, we're adding we're extending their entranceway out and giving them kind of an indoor outdoor type entry space mm-hmm. to kind of mimic maybe a townhouse, a Brooklyn townhouse or a London townhome
oh, okay.
or something. Yeah. And where the flooring material changes. So we've got a porch, and then we're going to have some tile, mm-hmm. stone tile probably, and then moving on to the wood floor inside. So in colder climates and wet climates, snowy, that kind of thing, that type of an entrance moment can be just an opportunity to keep your house clean on the other side, because people come in and they sort of drip dry right in that entrance area.
Yeah, right.
I take their coat off, put it on the hall tree, take their mm-hmm. wet boots off. And so I think that's fun. And then at one point I worked on an entrance hall, and this was in Connecticut, a Connecticut property, where the family was very casual and it was kind of a formal house. And so instead of trying to force that, because that mm-hmm. wasn't their style, we just went with it and ran pegs along all the walls and just made a giant mudroom out of their whole entrance hall.
Oh, cool.
And added stone floors because they had dogs mm-hmm. and kids, and just went for it, kind of hung their raincoats up kind of decoratively. And so anyway, it's just a fun opportunity to play too and to show off your personality.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the stairs do come into the foyer. Like mine is kind of separate. And then as you come around, you see the side of the stairs and you can see it through my glass front door. But sometimes we're working with the stairs as kind of a, almost like a decorative piece in that foyer, right, Amity? You know, so we really have to focus on that stair railing.
Yeah, it's true because I've been in houses too where the stairs come almost all the way to the front door.
Yeah.
So you walk in and there you are, mm-hmm. the stairs to up, you know, the leading to upstairs. So that's a great opportunity for personality, whether mm-hmm. it's a leopard stair runner or black
yeah,
painted
right.
Stair rail or it really shows up. That's sort of a grand moment. People love that.
Or sometimes too. There's the really big foyers in some of the older houses that we've mm-hmm. worked on. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people don't want to give up that square footage to a big grand entry like that, but some new houses do.
It's true, yeah. When you have a lot of times people will want a back stair, right, or like mm-hmm. a side stair instead of a front stair. But when you do have that opportunity, it's great because it's sort of that mystery too, like what's up the stairs? And then hopefully you have some privacy when you look up. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a nice – and it feels very grand, but it also feels really friendly.
Well, and you can also add more natural light because you'll have the light coming down through the stairway and because you'll have windows up high and it can create a really nice space with the height as well.
And then coming in, since we're talking about in to out, you know, thinking about even further secondary spaces, we've got off, you know, the side of the house. We've got the front door, and then we have kind of like the kid entry spaces through the back. You know, we've got the backyard mm-hmm. and the pool moment where the kids are coming in and out, all these kind of openings in the spaces. And so it's nice there, you know, Diane and I are working on a project now that there's a pool and kind of a kid room right off the back and having mm-hmm. that entry still be kind of grand, big double door because the kids are going to be coming in and out carrying things and maybe you're carrying out your picnic tray or whatever that is. There's also a moment to set a tone at the back of the house. So
right.
you may have a more formal entry mm-hmm. At the front of the house. You may have a really functional entry at the side of the house where you come in and then something really playful and great at the back of the house where the kids maybe come in from the outside.
Yeah. And then, I mean, some houses I've worked on where they're a bit more contemporary, we haven't really had the foyer, but it's almost that front porch, which we talked about last time, almost acts like the foyer mm-hmm. for the house. Because then you do come in and there's this big grand view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the big thing to think about then is just what do you see and when do you see it? How much are we revealing? Just remember that there are there is fun in the mystery of not seeing through the entire house all at one time. And one other thing we should add, too, is now that I mentioned the view through, whether or not you're keeping it all secret or it's kind of nice, too, when you do want to see all the way through the house, maybe to the back, maybe to the pool or mm-hmm. there's a center hall, still keeping a little bit. A few spaces, maybe like in those Georgian houses where there was a big center hall, a big mm-hmm. open hall that runs through the whole house. And then there's a sitting room on one side and a living room on
right.
the other. That is a beautiful moment.
Yes.
I love houses like that.
Yeah.
And it feels like connection, but privacy at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I think is really great. So,
yeah, those are awesome. We need to go visit some again.
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, well, that's all our spiel on foyers and mudrooms and getting from your car into your house. And we love
car
those
connection.
Moments
yeah.
and really thinking through them all. We always have conversations about what do you like, what do you don't like about what you have now. And so many people talk about that moment of coming in and out of their house and frustration or love or, you know, what they want to do.
Important thing
happens.
To think about when you're starting a project for sure. So.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.